Okay.
Says it's streaming. Hey,
It does. Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson. I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci. Welcome back, Lise.
hello, thank you.
Always my pleasure. For those of you who are new around here, Lise is my partner over at queenbeing.com. She's a fellow certified narcissistic abuse recovery coach and expert, and she's pretty awesome. I think you're going to love her. Anyway, those of you who have been around for a while, you already know. While we're here, let me just really quickly tell you, if you are interested in joining us during these streams, we do them usually on Tuesdays, but we also do them on Fridays sometimes. And when Dana comes back, Lise and I will be switching to Fridays, which is Friday today, so we're on the right day. Okay. Hello, everybody. If you are interested in being notified about these streams, make sure you subscribe to both my channel and Lise's channel, which is Lise Colucci Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Support here on YouTube. I will also link that after this stream. One more thing, if you are interested in additional notifications, because sometimes YouTube's a little wonky, you can text Angie Live, all one word, or Lise Live, LiseLive, to 33222. And you can text both of them if you were interested in being notified when we go live together or separately. All right, getting on with it today. So it is Friday. Happy Friday. We're talking about gaslighting today. So Lise, do you want to start us off? What do you, let's define
defining gaslighting. Well, I mean, the simple definition would be making someone believe something that happened didn't happen, or shifting their belief in the reality that they experienced.
Yeah.
That's a really simple, and how they do it is through so many means of manipulative conversations that, man, I should have grabbed my paper with the list, but I didn't. So,
well, yeah, but so first a couple of examples, let's.
Oh, well, they just might flat out say, you know, what do you mean we're talking about gaslighting today?
Right. That's a good one.
Yeah. Right. Or I'm not gaslighting. Yeah, you're the one who's gaslighting.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm not doing the thing. You're the one that's doing the thing. Or they might say, yeah, gaslighting. So anyway, yesterday I went to the store and I did this thing and I saw this person. And by the way, you know, you're wrong for doing this and that and the other. So they'll word salad and then blame shift. And you know, there's all kinds of gaslighting ways. Yeah. What else is there?
Oh, so many things. Really quickly though, we have a super chat here. So let me just let me just pull that. Thank you, Nubia. Nubia has given us a $20 super chat. Nubia, we appreciate you so much. And also, while we're here, really quickly, I want to say hello to Refiner Morgan, Crystal Mountain Elaine, DM Love, Live and Warrior TV. I believe that's Angelina. Am I wrong? Okay. Come right back around. Well, where were we? I didn't mean to interrupt.
You said there was a super chat. It was just a hello?
Just a hello and a thank you.
Hi.
Thank you. Okay. So, gaslighting. Let's talk about, can you think of a time? Well, let me just throw it out here. So all of those examples that you gave were perfect. And it's kind of hard sometimes to put your head around, but here's an example of something that actually happened to me. So when I was, married to my ex, one of the things he did was he would keep looking at my friends in certain ways, and they would be ways that would make me feel kind of weird. And then he would make little weird comments like, I wonder what she looks like without her clothes on.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I would say, I'm jealous, or I feel, you know, when I would exhibit jealousy, it would be like, what is wrong with you? You're so insecure. Well, everybody talks about everybody like that. That's totally normal. Would you call that gaslighting?
Yeah, it's totally gaslighting. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they make you feel you're too sensitive, it's normal for this to be, this is how people normally act. You're the one acting crazy. Yeah.
Yes. And on top of that, of course, I think in this case, it was a matter of further isolating me because, of course, you know what I mean? That I was like, I'm afraid to bring my friends around, you know.
Well, and then you can't trust your friends, and then you can't trust anyone. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's her. Hey, girl. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm going to say Sam, DTH Sam. Sam says, their mother is a master at gaslighting. And I do believe that was my original one as well. Here's a good question from Blue Moon. Would telling you how you feel be a form of gaslighting?
Yes, it is a form of, yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is they're trying to make you agree to what they say is right.
That's right.
So they cannot take accountability for anything in the relationship and then move on to the next thing.
Exactly. And that is why a lot of times we see cognitive dissonance are, you know, coming for us, because we know what we see in front of us, but then they tell us we see something different. And for me, at least in my desire to understand this person, I would try to see, okay, maybe I can kind of understand how you're saying the sky is purple or green or some other color. It's not, you know, for example. Yeah.
Well, and another thing is they can often do things that are very hurtful to you, like Angie's example, which would be very hurtful, and then twist it around so you've hurt their feelings. So they'll use a pity ploy.
Good one.
Yeah, I hate the pity ploy, man.
I hate that one.
Yeah, yeah. And they'll even curl in little balls and shut down and not. And then after that comes the silent treatment, which is also a form of gaslighting in a sense, because it's manipulating you, making you think you did something wrong that deserved the punishment. And
I did projecting. A TikTok about this.
Projecting is another good one, but go on. Yeah.
That is a real quick, a great example of what you were just explaining. So somebody drops a spaghetti sauce jar on your foot and your foot hurts. Have you ever had that happen? It hurts like, holy crap, the worst. And then they yell at you for screaming and hurting their ear.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and then you feel bad that you hurt their ear.
Right.
So you apologize because you're codependent, but we're going to help you get past that because we've been there.
Exactly. Yeah. Or they cheat on you and they say, well, if you would have been more nice and loving, I wouldn't have had to go out of the relationship. It really hurts me to have gone and done that.
Exactly.
I'm so sad that I had to do that. And now, right. Now I'm a mess. It's your fault.
Yeah. Right. Right. You were going to say something about projection.
Oh, projection is another huge form of gaslighting. And that's a big thing narcissists do, or they'll project onto you the thing that they're doing.
Absolutely. Consistently.
Right.
Ooh, or what they, here's another one. So my ex used to say everything, like I would say to them, you know, you make me feel like this. And like the next day, or sometimes in the same conversation, they would literally repeat back to me my words exactly.
Oh yeah.
Like, crazy. It's kind of the projection thing.
Well,
I guess.
And that's why it's really dangerous to go to therapy with them, because
indeed.
They get the words and then they project back onto you the thing that they do, but then they have the words and they
yes.
have, yeah.
100%. Yes. Okay. So we have, let's see here. We have a comment from, Angelina says triangulation and then gaslighting when you react to it. That's another very common thing, right? So what I was explaining with the friends, I mean, they are friends. I'm sorry. They were friends, but the people that he would push away from me by flirting with them in front of me or saying little comments to me about them, you know,
right.
same deal. Yeah. Triangulation. DM Love says, makes me feel like the violating is okay. Crosses boundaries all the time with my children. Let's talk about that. That is real. I cannot tell you how many times I personally experienced, you know, that, and I'm not going to, not so much with my children, because I'm, even when I was in a bad situation, I'm a mama bear with the children, right? But up to a point maybe, right? But when it comes to the feeling like the violating is okay, I recall feeling like every time I set a boundary, this person would like step over it. And then I would step back one step. So my, you know, if I was in the middle of the room, when I started setting boundaries, I was backed into the corner and I had no boundaries left by the time I was done. Can you relate to that? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can relate. So okay. We're going to talk in a minute about how to you know, kind of counter gaslighting. But in the meantime, we're going to just answer a few more questions from the chat here. Nubia says she now knows when she's being gaslighted, and that is powerful. Knowledge is power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why we talk about signs of gaslighting. That's why we talk about what it feels like. In fact, one of the very first articles I ever wrote about narcissism that kind of almost, I would almost say launched my career in a way. I wrote it on my personal blog, but it was top 10 signs of gaslighting. And it was not what they said or did, but what it made you feel like.
That's how I always approach it. Yeah, because that's the only way you can get the insight that it's happening.
That's right.
Because it is, a lot of them are so good at it that it's convincing.
It's really true.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna just pull up that article really quick and share some of those top 10. Oops. Some of those, because I think it'll really help everybody. But yeah, so Lise, what do you think some of the first signs for you are, or some of the signs off the top of your head of gaslighting while I'm pulling
what this up? I feel a frustration that I'm not being heard in a way, not just that I'm not being heard, but I'm not being heard and I'm being misrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know if I say anything, it's going to cause an argument. So there's a feeling of walking on eggshells. There's like, I get a really horrible pressure in my head and in my chest of wanting to like yell and scream, and I'm not a yeller or a screamer. So that feeling of absolute frustration, and then usually a shutdown and a fear and, you know, all kinds of things. And it's when someone won't take accountability, that's the main thing I see, is that it's a way of escaping accountability. And I don't even mean I need to tell someone where they're at and what they're doing and they need to take accountability. I mean, really basic take accountability for the most basic things. Hey, you're 2 hours late. What happened?
Right.
And you're 2 hours late or whatever that, you know, whatever there, why are you keeping track of me? What is this? What is that? You know, like the gaslighting starting and the argument, they're clearly not taking, something's up.
Yeah. No question. Yeah, totally. Okay. I'm going to run down these really quick. And they're really, well, anyway, let's talk about it. So number one being your fears are used against you. So obviously like when they, like the one I explained earlier, you know, I was afraid that my ex would cheat. So he, you know, he picked at it. And the biggest human fear, I think in general, is the fear of abandonment. And that's normal, but narcissists almost always pick on that. Another thing, you don't know your own mind. And what I meant by that was you doubt yourself. You don't know what you're, you don't know what's real and what isn't real, because you become so deeply entrenched in it. You don't know what's normal. They tell you things are normal when they're not, right? Like it's totally normal for dudes to hit on their friend, girlfriend's friends or wife's friends or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know, number four, you're diagnosed with major issues, meaning the narcissist tells you you're depressed, you need help, you need counseling, that kind of stuff. Right.
I'm going to leave you if you don't get counseling.
Yeah. And then number five was you doubt your own beliefs and perceptions. And again, same deal. And I go into detail in the article. I'm not going to do that today, but meaning that, you know, you find yourself wondering, like I said, is the sky really green? Is the grass really yellow, a purple, whatever color, you know, because they keep telling you so often that you start to wonder if you really are crazy, which actually is number nine. But anyway,
yeah, it makes you feel crazy.
Right. You can't remember anything anymore. Similar thing. You lie to keep the peace. That's a big one. When you're constantly going through gaslighting and walking on eggshells and doing, you lie, because if you broke their favorite thing, you might go out and replace it if possible and never tell them or whatever.
I hid, the dog chewed a hole in his socks and I hid the other sock.
There you go. See? Because he complained about the dog, right?
Yeah, because he would get mad at the dog, and then me for having the dog, and then
exactly.
And I'm like, but you're the one who left the sock on the floor.
See, yep. Uh-huh. And I had number nine was you start thinking you're the crazy one, which we all understand about that one. Oh, I forgot to mention number eight. You stop trying to be heard, which I experienced quite a lot, where I just stopped talking about myself, so much so that even today I feel a little bit anxious about talking about myself.
You get invisible, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then number nine, you start thinking you're the crazy one. We all know what that means, because we doubt our perception and everything. Number 10, you're depressed. You know, so these are all things that I think a lot of us have experienced, that I felt at that time were at least the top 10 signs of what I was dealing with. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so let's grab some stuff out of the, how are we doing here? Okay, we're going to pick up a few more questions, and then we can jump into how to solve this problem, or how to deal with it as it's happening, obviously.
Solve it
is kind of, okay, let's see. Angelina says, Dell says that's his every day. Okay, wait a minute, I just totally lost my place in chat.
I know, I hate that.
Okay, here we go, I got it. All right. Triangulation. Okay. Dell said, that's my everyday. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah.
Angelina said, yeah, of course they will definitely try to turn your friend, turn you against your friends by either flirting with them or telling you that your friend is flirting with them. I've seen it both ways, had it both ways, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And usually it's a combination of those two things. And I think, again, it's because they want to isolate you so they can better control you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Blue Moon, thank you. Rose. Okay. Yeah, Blue Moon says basically trying to distort your reality, absolutely, to fit their narrative, whatever that happens to be. Mm-hmm. And what Lise mentioned earlier with the narcissistic injury stuff, where they kind of roll up in a ball, poor me, or they get angry at you for something that you did. And then when you get upset with them, or wait a minute, let's say they do something to hurt your feelings or do something wrong against you, and they can't deny it, which they can usually anyway, but let's say they don't deny it, but they say, yeah, but I only did that because you're such a terrible person.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Yeah. Same.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like you catch them red-handed and then they just throw the blame back or,
right.
or do the pity ploy, or there's never an accountability that is real.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, that's just like that one song. What's it called? It wasn't me. You know, saw him banging on the sofa. It wasn't me. Saw him in the shower. No, it wasn't me. Okay, I'll stop. You know that song, right?
I don't, but I can hear it in my
Anyway, it's a funny song, but it's all about a gaslighting, really. Let's see here. Yeah, Crystal says the ex would get mad at her when she caught him in a lie, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's that. Yeah, they get mad at you. And then the argument becomes about... One thing about gaslighting is you lose your place in the argument and you can't remember what the fight was about to begin with.
Circular conversation.
Oh, my God. That is the most... That is, like, the biggest sign for me. Like, wait, we're not even talking... It becomes tangential to the topic. Yeah.
It really does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, you know, when they talk about... She talks about, wait a minute. Okay. So here's an example of that for those of you who might not be connecting. Like, let's say that this is a really lame example that probably will never happen. Let's start out here. For one example is, they say to you, if you'll cook dinner, I'll do the dishes. And you go, okay, I'll cook dinner. So you cook dinner. And then after dinner, they go, why haven't you done the dishes? And you go, well, you said you would do the dishes. And then they say, I work all the time. I have all these things. Why would I ever say, I never said. you're so blah, blah, so lazy, whatever. Or another example might be, I was just thinking of one that was really, well, doesn't matter. Do you have an example or anything to go with?
I can remember having arguments about like stupid things that shouldn't have been an argument. Like, hey, what we were supposed to, it was always about time with him. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to leave at 12 and it's now 2. Mm. And you've kind of been just messing around. You think we could get out? You think we could go? I mean, literally saying it like that. Like, you think we could go now? Or is there a time that you'll be ready to go? I'm going to text the people and let us, you know, like, and then that would turn into an argument about how, you know, 2 days ago, I was rude about something that was said about something else. It was like, he would word salad off topic. Hmm. It's derailing. So he derailed the sit. And so you're talking about something completely different. You're in trouble for the thing you did unrelated to the thing that was the issue. And then at the end of it, you're crying, you're upset, you're walking on eggshells, you're freaking out, you're fawning, you're frozen, whatever. And you can't remember why you were upset. And like, what even started this fight?
Right. Right.
Yep. Right. How did this happen? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally been there. Hey Bonnie, thanks for being here. Michelle says, who does that? I've never given anyone the silent treatment. That's always my fault. I get to be told how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. That's a toxic narcissist for you, for sure. Okay, Wendy says, before we get to Wendy, your question comes next, but before we do that, I want to hit this one. Goats Lives Matter has a great point. Okay. How is it that narcissism is so textbook? Okay. How is it that narcissism is so textbook is the question. And this is interesting because I find this to be, I think it's this way. We can come up with a few different explanations, but I think that I'll just say this, the fact that it is so textbook, the fact that we can all recognize these behaviors and see them in different people all over the world, different types of people, different, you know, cultures, creeds, ages, sexes, religions, countries, all the things. it speaks to the fact that it isn't you. I'll just say that. Lisa, any thoughts on how it can be that it is?
I think that the traits of narcissism and the behaviors of the manipulation and the toxic things that happen, every person is capable of. Okay. Yeah. We all do tiny, 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 tiny bits of gaslighting and tiny bits of projecting. Everybody projects. However, mm-hmm. they have learned that they can use those things to manipulate other people to get their way.
Yes.
And it's textbook because people without empathy have one thing in common, and that's that they're the center of the world. It's yeah. funny how many centers of the world there are with that many narcissists.
Right.
But when you're the center of the world, what you're trying is if everything is filtered through your delusional state, mm-hmm. then and it what you had a good way of wording that everything needs to be their narrative.
Yeah.
Right. So if everything yeah. has to be that person's narrative, they're going to use these tactics that work.
Yeah.
And there, even if it's not like a conscious thought, it just works. To deny something works. A little kid puts its hand in the cookie jar, takes the cookie and says, I didn't do it, with crumbs all over their face. It works if they're cute. It works if they get away with it. It works, you know what I mean, once or twice. But as an adult, where they're doing the same thing. Does that yeah. not make a whole lot of sense? But that, I think, because the tactics work and they have no empathy, they don't care about any other people, they want to filter it through their narrative. And so.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Wendy says, what can I do to get rid of this roaster cold? Excuse me. To let go of this roller coaster feeling. Sorry. I'm having problems today.
I like roaster cooler though.
Right. I'm trying to become indifferent toward a narcissistic friendship. I can't afford therapy. I love this community. Thank you. And let us try to help you. We're going to have to make this quick because unless Lisa wants to stick around, I don't know. But
anyway,
okay. So here it goes. I'm trying to become indifferent toward. Okay, so this is difficult, and for me anyway, and I'm gonna let you answer after this, Lisa. Mm-hmm. But really quick, for me, it's about faking it till I make it. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. So if this person is in your life every day and you have to deal with them, you have no choice, and you can't go no contact for some reason, then you have to. If you're doing the like fade away type thing or the gray rock type thing, you know, then you basically, if you're in person with them, don't look in their eyeballs. That sounds weird, right? But look here or here, mm-hmm. or even here, right? Outside of that, you have to at least pretend that you don't have any emotion about any drama they pull or anything they say. So positive or negative in this case, because you're mm-hmm. trying to be indifferent, right? Mm-hmm. So faking it till you make it can help. There's a whole lot of other advice I could give here, but we're running out of time. So Lise, fill it in.
Okay, that's Gray Rock 101 then.
Say it again?
Gray Rock, the Gray Rock basics that I think is the most essential piece of Gray Rock that's also very hard to do, but is essential. Inside your head. So what Angie said, and then add this. Inside your head, you name the behaviors that the person's doing. Not never out your mouth, inside your head. So what you're doing is you're sitting back inside yourself, behind your emotions, mm-hmm. looking through your emotions, being like, okay, emotions, I feel you. You want to fight. Not gonna. So you don't engage. So do what Angie said, don't engage. Yeah. And then at the same time, be like, wait, that's kind of what they were describing as gaslighting. Oh, that's projecting. Oh, that's in your head. And that way you're separating your emotional response from you're separating you from them.
That's the truth. I've talked about that lot because that for me was the tipping point. Thing.
That's the tipping point for me too. Yeah. You have to find a way toward indifference.
Yes.
Indifference meaning that's them. This is you. They don't get to affect your internal state anymore.
Right. And from a lot. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, because they're using tactics of manipulation. They're not having real conversations. You can't relate to a narcissist. They can't be in relationship because they can't relate.
That's right. And the thing for me was, on a logical level, if I knew that these people could be these behaviors could be labeled, that really took the sting out somehow.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If you know what I mean? Like if I could look at him and go, oh, he's gaslighting. Okay. Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that helped me because I used to say, look at it like a scientist. Like I would look at it from the perspective of, you know, like almost like I was studying that person.
Exactly. And that's what it takes.
That
you don't let them know it ever. And that can help you with the gray rocking on the outside, because then you're like, your face is actually kind of neutral because you're like, what's happening?
Yeah, right. That's right.
And you're thinking versus feeling.
Oh, Lise, really good point. Yeah.
And don't do it forever. It'll make you feel, it'll numb out your whole emotional system.
That's right. And as soon as you're able to go no contact with someone like that, do it if you can.
Right.
If you need to be in contact for whatever reason, then this is how you get through it. But I would minimize the contact, even if you must remain in contact, low contact as opposed to no contact if necessary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to get ready to wrap up here. I know this is a short one today. We apologize for that. I have accidentally had a scheduling conflict. It's not Lisa's fault, all my fault. But we will be back here. We will be back here Tuesday. I'm not sure. I think maybe Dana's coming back on Tuesday, but I'm not positive. So either way,
yeah.
And if Dana's here on Tuesday, then Lisa and I will be here again next Friday. All right.
Okay.
See you guys later again. See you soon.
Thank you
so much. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.